Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. It's all brought to you by our great friends over at the Glenview Park Golf Club. Ron Cassidy and company are going to get you set with a gem of a golf course up in Glenview. Mike, you are down in Valhalla in Louisville for the PGA Championship. I'm up at Ziegfeld Troy in Woodridge right now, so we're at two separate golf courses right now, but we've got one great tournament going on, and it is taking place just mere feet, I'd imagine, from where you are right now, because, boy, we had quite the day yesterday, and I'm not just talking about the golf. It was before the golfers even entered the gates, and, Mike, you were telling me, it's the craziest day you've ever seen in professional golf.
Well, it is. And good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicago, here from the Media Center at the 106th PGA Championship. Yes, Tyler, no doubt. Yesterday, when we woke up, in fact, I woke up to a text from ESPN's Dave Scharf, who said, "You've got some news there. Do you see Scotty in handcuffs?" And I thought it was a joke, in that the only way that the field is going to be able to contain Scotty is if we put him in handcuffs. Then he told me, hey, turn on the TV. And the next thing I know, I quickly threw the clothes on and came on out here. And what I saw and what I was a part of in all the years that I've been associated in a part of professional golf, I've never been a part of a day that was so surreal and so different. And we didn't know what was going to happen moment to moment, because we went from a course record. We went home. The celebration had started here in Louisville. Everyone was up on the highest of highs, looking forward to the next three great days. And unfortunately, somebody lost their life at 5:09 yesterday morning. And that was what started the domino effect of events that, you know, happened right from there, which involved Scottie Scheffler, which at the same time had a reporter from ESPN, Jeff Darlington, was in the car behind him and was able to literally film everything as it occurred. And the way they have this golf course set up here, there is a main road, Shelbyville Road. It's a five-lane road. It's two lanes in each direction with a middle lane that's really dedicated for left turns, mainly to the side of the street that Valhalla is located on, which across the street is mainly just open farm, undeveloped land. So the buses use that middle lane from the media hotel and the media parking lot, as well as the official hotel. And what happened was the official hotel shuttle got going at, you know, oh my gosh, early to get the staff here super early. And that's the bus that came into contact with that vendor, who, by the way, was actually setting up the traffic cones for the day and unfortunately made a bad decision and walked in front of a bus that he didn't see coming. And that is what started the day off on a poor note, and then it just got worse from there when Scotty came rolling up. And it has this town divided. It has this town divided on whether the police were right, whether Scotty was right. They're pointing at that this is common stuff that goes on day in and day out. It's just now that there's a white golfer involved. So it's all over the chart, and really the concern for the community is here is whether the PGA will come back because of this. There's a lot of people that feel that this could be the, you know, the last straw, and that they may not come back for decades, even though the, you know, the 2032 and 2033 venues are open. And it was our hope as we came into this week that the PGA of America is going to announce that they are going to come back here, even though they have now sold this facility. So there's a lot of different emotions going around, and One individual I particularly feel bad for is Ryan Olge. And Ryan is the tournament director here, and he's been so emotional over the past day because he knew these people. And as a tournament director, you get to know your vendors and the workers. So for the crew here, it was like losing a family member. And it really put a cloud on what was otherwise supposed to be an exhilarating, fun day. Then we went from the shock and awe of, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to Scotty, now to, is Scotty going to play?
Right.
Is Scotty going to be able to get out of jail to play? And if he does get out of jail to play, is he going to? A lot of people thought he was going to withdraw and head home, which would have been the ultimate slap in the face to Louisville as a whole. But I'll tell you what, I have more respect now for Scotty Scheffler than ever before in the manner to which he went about his business. Because remember, he tried to get here almost 3 hours in advance to go through his typical major championship preparation. And instead, he didn't get to the golf course till 9:12. And I remember looking at the clock yesterday at 9 o'clock saying he's going to tee off in an hour. And when it got to be 9:05 and 9:10, the media said we all figured he was just going to stop in, WD, say his goodbyes, and out the door he went. But no, just the opposite. He managed to be able to prepare himself and then to go out and play the round of golf that he did and to make birdie on the very first hole to let the world know I'm back and life is going to be okay. And the day then progressively just got better as the day went on. And but at the end of the day, we still have to remember John Mills lost his life here in Louisville, Kentucky, and it is a tournament director's worst nightmare when that happens. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers out to the Mills family. But otherwise, we're hoping that today is going to be a new day and maybe another record-breaking day because the conditions here are so benign, soft, no wind. This is absolutely ideal scoring conditions for these guys today. So wild day yesterday, the wildest one I've ever been a part of in golf. And quite frankly, I hope never to be a part of one of those again.
And you've been a part of a lot of these different types of days and across professional golf, specifically with the PGA Championship as well. And I look back at the entire timeline events and I think back to the same. I was kind of going through the same thing. Like I wake up, I just hear my phone buzzing off the chain. I'm like, what could possibly be going on right now? And then you see Scotty's arrested, and you see the orange jumpsuit mugshots going through every single group chat in America that gives even the slightest care about golf. And all of that combined, and it led into him going out and firing a 66 after that as well. I mean, I can't imagine what was going through his head, everything that took place during that round of golf. And how about just the whirlwind that he is going through this weekend as well as a golfer? I mean, round number one, he is a new father. His routine's probably thrown off a little bit. He's got a new person to worry about in his life. And what does he do? He holes out from, what, about 180 yards on the first hole for an eagle? Then he follows it up. The next day he gets arrested before his round, and he acts like he's any one of us where he's running late for a round, gets there just in time for his tee time, and then goes out there and hits the ball and hits it at a very, very good rate the entire round. And then today, how about the hardship that he's going to be going through today? He needs a new caddy today because his guy's going back to go see his daughter's graduation. So he's going to be without his caddy today. And all of this, who knows, maybe it all culminates with Sunday, him lifting a trophy at the end of it. It would be, I think, the craziest four rounds of golf that we'll ever see.
Right. And in that scenario that you list, Tyler, it's almost like Sunday becomes his most normal day. And that's right. When he wins. And so, yeah, I mean, and what was really funny when in the media center, you go back to that first shot that he hit on Thursday into one. The media center is just, excuse me, to the right of number one here. The roar that went up was deafening. It was, you knew that somebody holed out. And then, of course, we see it, it's Scotty.
And then you see
who's
on hole one.
Unbelievable way to start the day. Yeah, and so then yesterday, as soon as the day gets started, I walk right out of the media center, and already the number of free Scotty T-shirts that were being worn. I mean, this thing happened just a couple of hours, and people had T-shirts already printed, free Scotty, that they were wearing when they walked in. So it's amazing how quickly the news will travel and how people will adapt. But, yeah, yesterday's day was off the charts crazy, and yet he has a demeanor about himself that calms everybody else down around him. And the press conference, I happen to be standing just to the left of him post-round, and you could see the genuineness in what he was trying to say. He, you know, yes, he should be listening to commands, and I think where this all breaks down is the officer claims he gave him demands, and Scotty's claiming he did everything the officer said. So I think a camera or an officer's camera is probably going to tell the whole story, but Scotty's due to be back in court here on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Now, it'll be interesting. The feeling is the district attorney and everyone else is probably not going to press the charges, but the officer did go to the hospital and did have some injuries, but there are those that are thinking, well, he probably should have never have attached himself to the car. So I think that's all going to work itself out. Hopefully common sense will prevail. And hopefully we just have one heck of a weekend of golf, because the leaderboard is starting to set itself up for one heck of a finish. And, you know, with some of the names that we were expecting to see, then there's some that we are surprised to see. And then we have some up there that we're glad to see. So I think this is starting to shape up into one heck of a weekend once we can get this second round completed. We had dense fog here this morning that is now lifting, and so they're out trying to get that accomplished so we can get on our way after 11 o'clock Eastern time here with the first time in round three.
And can you imagine, you bring up the court date on Tuesday, imagine if he walks into that courtroom with the Wanamaker trophy. I mean, what kind of scene would that be?
Exactly. And you know what? He should.
It would be just fantastic theater to see him, another major under his belt, and all that has gone on in his golfing life this week, and non-golfing life as well, because he is a new father and everything that comes along with that. But you are right. Like, this leaderboard, everything's setting up for a fantastic weekend of golf. I think everyone that you sort of want to be there, you're right, is there. I think we've got some new and developing names, some names that also aren't there as well. We can get into some of that and more. And also, we should hear from Scotty Scheffler as well, and just him recounting the day that was yesterday, a day that I don't think we will see many professional golfers or professional athletes at all ever have a day quite like that. You want to join the show, 312-332-3776. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
We'll hear from Scotty Scheffler in just a second. Mike Gilligan down at Valhalla, he's been taking everything in, all the craziness of yesterday with Scotty Scheffler and his early morning arrest. I'm out at Ziegfeld Troy for the CDGA Better Through Birdies competition that's taking place right now. Mike and I will be getting our 100 holes in a little bit later on this week. And you can donate if you go to betterthroughbirdies.com. And you will go down to the CDGA Golf Show team, and you can donate there. So appreciate any amount that you can contribute. It's a fabulous day out here at Ziegfeld Troy. I know it's a little bit foggy down in Valhalla, Mike, but they should be getting going shortly out at the PGA Championship today.
Oh, absolutely. And it is, the fog is lightening up. The players are out finishing up round two. And then that way we can get things going to officially start round three. And they're going to go off a split tees, by the way, today, which wasn't the original plan. But the first tee time will be approximately 11:17, and the final one would be at 1:40, and those times are Eastern. So, yeah, they'll be getting them we'll be all caught up by the time tomorrow gets here. So we'll get round three in. But it's looking like a terrific weekend weather-wise here. It's going to be in the low 80s today and tomorrow. They've had their fair share of rain here. And as a result, this golf course is going to be very, very, very vulnerable today. They're looking at 2 to 4 miles hours of wind and, you know, maybe a gust of upwards to 8 to 10 miles at most. So when you take the wind away, soft conditions, and ideal Zoysia fairways, and that's another change that's been made here at Valhalla. When the club was originally built back in 1986, it was done so with the conventional bent fairways and greens, and much like what we see around the Chicagoland area. But Louisville sits down near the Ohio River, and it is a very hot and humid place in the summer, and the grasses here just don't do well. So they made a decision a year and a half or so ago to go to the Zoysia fairway, which is a much hardier, stronger grass that is performs in it is best in warm, hot, humid conditions. So like Belle Reve in St. Louis, where we had a PGA recently in 2018, they're all Zoysia. And the thing about it, a Zoysia fairway, is it gives you the most ultimate lie. I mean, you can hit a driver off the deck. The lies are so good in the fairway. So you couple that with soft greens, and especially in and around the greens when these guys will put wedges in their hands, if they can get that much of the club on the ball groove-wise, their ability to control the ball is exponentially improved and increased. So the shot-making that we should see over the next 2 days should be just absolutely incredible to watch, and especially around the greens because of these Zoysia fairways. And the greens are still bent, so they're going to react just like they would any other U.S. Open or, you know, North Shore Country Club type of greens. But the fairways and tees are Zoysia, and it's making a big difference. And we predicted a course record, nor did we realize the course record would be done in one of the very first groups of the day on the first day. But it was. A 62 was shot by the X-Man, Xander Schauffele. Yeah. And, there are some discussions around the media center this morning that record could be in jeopardy of at least being tied, if not broken, today because of the conditions.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of pin hunting, especially yesterday, once the rain had sort of settled itself. By the way, quickly, your leaderboard right now, Xander Schauffele out ahead of the pack right now, 12 under, sole possession of first. You've got Colin Morikawa, who was fantastic yesterday, fired a 65. He is 11 under, one stroke off the lead. Sahith Theegala came on strong, especially late. He is 10 under in sole possession of third. And then you've got a cluster of golfers who are tied for fourth right now. Bryson DeChambeau, how about the round that he put together yesterday? He also went 65. He's 9 under. Mark Hubbard, 9 under as well. Scottie Scheffler, 9 under, and Thomas Detry as well, 9 under. They're all tied for fourth right now. So it's got some names atop that leaderboard right now, and we'll discuss a little bit more of that starting at 9 o'clock. But let's talk a little bit, or let's hear rather, from Scottie Scheffler and some of the things that he had to say about his round and just his day yesterday. This was Scottie Scheffler after his round. He shot a 65 yesterday, or a 66 rather, yesterday. This was Scottie talking about the incident of the day.
First of all, you know, my sympathies go out to the family, Mr. Mills. I can't imagine what they're going through this morning. One day he's heading to the golf course and to watch a tournament, and a few moments later, he's trying to cross the street, and now he's no longer with us. So I can't imagine what they're going through. My heart, you know, I feel for them. I'm sorry. My situation will get handled. It was just a chaotic situation and a big misunderstanding. And I can't comment on any of the specifics of it. So I feel like y'all are going to be disappointed, but can't comment on any specifics. But my situation will be handled. It was just a big misunderstanding. So if y'all got any questions about the golf today, I'm happy to answer them. But outside of that, I can't really get into what transpired outside of, you know, my heart goes out to the family.
And then this was Scottie kind of talking about the preparation that went into his round with all the uncertainty that was hanging about whether or not he was going to be playing yesterday.
I don't really know. I feel like my head's still spinning. I can't really explain what happened this morning. I did spend some time stretching in a jail cell. That was a first for me. You know, that was part of my warm-up. I was just sitting there waiting, and, you know, I started going through my warm-up. I felt like there was a chance I may be able to still come out here and play, and so I started going through my routine, and I tried to get my heart rate down as much as I could today, but like I said, you know, I still feel like my head's spinning a little bit, but, yeah, I was fortunate to be able to make it back out and play some golf today.
That was a first and hopefully a last for him, stretching in the jail cell. I don't think I've ever heard anything of that sort like that, getting ready, especially for major championship golf.
Oh, yeah. And what actually, what he also said in that soundbite later was that when they asked him, when did you think you really had a chance to actually play? And he said, well, when they came and, because he said they took my watch, the phone, everything away from him. He was in an orange suit. So he could see in the window, he said he could see ESPN on the TV and see himself. And he wasn't sure that there was a weather delay. How he found out about the weather delay was through the window in jail on the TV that was out in the hallway. So then at that point, he thought, well, maybe I can start getting ready for this thing. And they gave him a mat, apparently, to lay down on. And he used it like a yoga mat to stretch. And so now the police officers are basically saying, we think you're going to be able to make it. So they knocked on the door, in the window, and they gave the hand signal, like, roll it up, let's go, we're getting you back. And at that point, that's when he said, well, maybe I can make it. It's now going to depend on whether the traffic will allow him or not. And but he did have a sandwich in jail. That was his nourishment before he went out and shot 6 under.
I think one of the best memes I saw yesterday was these Scotty's 2025 Masters Champions dinner, and it was a plate of jail food. When I saw that, that was that, like, all the things that were going around on the internet that yesterday, they were fantastic. All right, when we come back, let's break down some of the golf that we have seen. We talked a little bit about what Scotty's done on the course. How about the rest of the field? We'll do all that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Mike Gilligan down at Valhalla, and I, Tyler Aki, am up at Ziegfeld Troy in Woodridge, Illinois, as we talk some PGA Championship with you. And it has been a great start to the tournament so far. Xander Schauffele, you mentioned earlier, Mike, shot a record, tied the record, I should say, of 62 for an opening round in a major. He was fantastic on Thursday and was solid as well once again on Friday. He is 12 under. He is your sole first place leader right now. Colin Morikawa, back-to-back solid days. He is 11 under in sole possession of second. And how about Sahith Theegala? He goes 6 under day one, 4 under day two. But here's the name that really came storming out of the pack late yesterday. Bryson DeChambeau was excellent. And he is currently slotted at 9 under, fired a 6 under yesterday, tied for fourth right now in the championship. And the way that his round went yesterday, on the front nine, he goes 4 under. Couple of birdies as well on the back nine to get to 6 under as well. But the way that Bryson was played, he kind of had a feeling his style of play suits himself well for Valhalla. And then you look at the other cluster of golfers that he is alongside, Scottie Scheffler, Thomas Detry, Mark Hubbard, also at that 9 under ledger as well. The tied for 8 cluster, also fascinating to me. Tony Finau, he's still in the thick of things, still in the hunt. If he goes out and has a good day today, he very well could find himself in contention to win the whole thing on Sunday. And then, Mike, I don't know what it is, but Victor Hovland has somehow found a way, despite having a really, really tough start to 2024. He is 8 under, 3 under on Thursday, 5 under yesterday. And Victor Hovland has found a way to put together some good golf. Austin Eckroat also at 8 under. But I think just the way that Vic has played, I cannot believe that we are sitting here on the Saturday, this moving day of the major, and the way that everything has played out the first 5 months of the year, we're talking about Victor Hovland being in contention at a major.
And it's really good to be able to say that, too, because I think if you listen to us over the last few weeks, we've been concerned about Victor's slow start. But we do think we have found some rhythm here. Today is a big day for Victor. And I think a day where Victor could actually be a guy making a statement with a very, very low number today. Just because, again, the golf course is playing rather benign, rather easy today. You bring up Bryson DeChambeau, and let me tell you, he didn't birdie 18, and 18 was the easiest hole of them all yesterday. So he shot that score with a par on 18, and to him, it felt like he made triple bogey on that hole. So Bryson is looking good. This golf course does suit his style real well. Drive it long and, you know, bomb and gouge, and nobody's better at it than Bryson, and that's how he won at Wingfoot. So he will be somebody that we'll be chatting with amongst the leaders, whether it's Xander, whether it's Scotty, or all three of them. But the one thing I do want to point out, Tyler, if you look at the players that are all in the top 8 or 10 or so here, they are all excellent iron players. And the, mm-hmm. And the Zoysia fairways, and you put these guys together, you're going to have some really amazing shots, and you're going to have some low scores. And that's, we're going to see a lot more of that today. And, you know, for a major championship to be, you know, minus 20 plus under, if you will, is a real possibility here. It's not the norm, but right now, I mean, 20, 21, 22 under looks like it may win this thing.
Some other notables on the leaderboard. Brooks Koepka, your defending champion, he is tied for 11th at 7 under. Hideki Matsuyama also at 7 under. Hometown kid Justin Thomas, he's gotten plenty of ovations throughout the week. Tied for 16th right now at 6 under for the tournament. Rory McIlroy goes 5 under, is in the thick of things on Thursday, but then goes even par yesterday. Definitely a disappointing showing for Rory, especially with his aspirations for this week. Tied for 23rd. It's been a whirlwind of a week as well for him, and all the parallels are going back to 2014 when he did win back at Valhalla, when he had broken off his engagement with Caroline Wozniacki right before, and then he gets divorced this week leading into the PGA Championship, but he is currently 5 under. You know who else is 5 under? Doug Gim, local guy for the Chicagoland area. He was atop the leaderboard for a good portion of that Thursday as well before Xander really got going. I do have the screenshot, too, of Doug Gim in sole possession of first place. He was 3 under at the time, and there were a couple guys 2-1 under. But we'll have to get that screenshot to Doug Gim. I'm sure he's already gotten it plenty. Tom Kim also at 5 under. Max Homa, 4 under right now, tied for 29th, as is Jordan Spieth and Cameron Smith as well. I do want to go through some of the guys who did miss the cut, and I want to get your impression of what you saw from them. First of all, Ludvig Åberg, who just kind of was up and down all week, and a lot of it had to do with the injury. But did you notice anything with Ludvig and the knee injury that he was battling going into the week? He misses the cut.
Yeah, he did miss the cut. He said his knee was healthy and all good and strong, which I'm sure it was. But Valhalla walking the soft fairways, it took its toll on him, and there was some noticeable bit of a limp in his stride. So the knee is still bothering him, or it became more of a problem in the midst of playing here. So he's not 100%. But he is one heck of a talent, let me tell you. So, you know, surprised that he missed the cut, but not surprised with the fact that, you know, he does have an injury.
All right, here's a definite surprise, and that is Jon Rahm. Rahm finishes up at 1 over yesterday. He fires even for the tournament. He was, I mean, his Thursday got off to a really rough start, but he rallied back nicely. He opened round one of Thursday going 4 over, bounced back, though, on the back nine, and got himself to 1 under miraculously and looked like he was in line to make the cut. But then yesterday, he goes 1 over, finishes his round, his first two rounds at even, and he's going to miss the cut now. John Rahm, I thought this was going to be a tournament where we could see him set up really nicely because of the style of play that he has, but that was just not the case with John Rahm. Really disappointing when you look at the expectations that he may have had coming into this tournament, and now he will not see the weekend.
No, Tyler, everybody thought John Rahm was going to have a great week, and they all felt that, you know, he was getting angry, he was going to be mad, and that's what his game needed to get more emotional. But I got to be honest with you, when I got here and watched him in the press conference, and then I watched him start his round, I followed him for the first half a dozen holes or thereabouts, and the only way I can describe John Rahm since he's gone to live and what I saw this week is he's out of sorts. He could not get himself comfortable. He didn't look happy. And, I mean, John Rahm always has a bit of a scowl to him, but he looked more uncomfortable in his own skin than I've ever seen him before. And I don't know if it's just the weight of being on live and all of the questions and people are second-guessing his decision and if he's second-guessing it himself. But I will tell you this, he could not get himself comfortable on that golf course for the first six holes or so. And it was really, it was troubling to see, actually. When you know a guy is as good as he is, he just could not execute some of the more basic things early out. And his demeanor went from, you know, down to even downer. And he just never really responded. He had a short glimpse of it in the back nine. But yesterday was pretty much more of the same, and I watched him depart Valhalla, and hopefully better days are ahead for him. But, yeah, very surprising, and everybody here in the media center, especially the international media, is shocked by it.
Yeah, a little underwhelming at the Masters as well for John Rahm. I mean, it does look like a different golfer right now.
He does, and... And, you know, what's amazing is not only is he the U.S. Open winner that missed the cut, but so did the other two. So the past three U.S. Open winners in Wyndham Clark, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and John Rahm, all three missed the cut. It's just amazing.
It really is. And I guess with in Wyndham Clark and in Matthew Fitzpatrick's case, you don't really know maybe what the cause of some of the struggles are. But with John Rahm, like, he clearly looks like a different golfer, and I'm sure a lot of people will attribute that to him making the leap over to LIV because he has not looked the same since he went over to LIV at some of these majors. And again, it's a small sample size. It's only two right now, but I think both of us would have thought that John Rahm would be in the thick of things, especially come Sunday, and he's not even going to make it to Saturday. And for a player of his caliber and a guy who a year ago was the Masters champion and on top of the world, it felt like he has certainly taken a complete 180. And you can see that, I mean, just look at the top of this leaderboard right now. It is Bryson DeChambeau, and he's really the lone representative of LIV right now at the top of this leaderboard. Him and Brooks is kind of hovering around two at tied for 12th.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got Dean Burmeister, who's at four under, and, you know, there's a few others out there. But to your point, John Rahm was the guy we thought we would really be maybe setting ourselves up for the Scotty John Rahm showdown that we've all been looking forward to at the Masters. Didn't happen. We thought it might happen here. Well, now we're going to have to look at the U.S. Open if that's going to be, in fact, the next chance. But to your point, John Rahm just doesn't look sharp. And again, maybe LIV doesn't agree with a guy like John Rahm because I think John likes to play a lot of golf. He likes to play week to week to week. He's that kind of guy. And, you know, I think for him, it's probably trying to get used to turning it off, turning it on, turning it off, turning it back on again, and trying to maintain that high level of execution in the shot-making skill set that he has. But the frustration you can see on his face when he can't pull off the things that he was pulling off a year or two ago.
I think the other thing, I don't know if you get this sense too, but it almost feels very Dustin Johnson-esque in the way that we've sort of seen him at some of these majors and ever since DJ joined LIV. And DJ did make the cut, by the way. That is worth mentioning. or at least he is projected to once everyone finishes up their round twos today. But I just look at everything that we see with Jon Rahm, it just something seems a little bit off ever since they went to live. And I think we could have said the same thing about DJ, and we're seeing it now sort of rear its head. And it's been rough seeing some guys who are former number ones in the world playing the way that they are right now.
Yeah, and I think for John, it may be just a matter of time before he gets over that enigma of taking the money, being that guy that made the jump. You know, it took Phil quite a while to get comfortable in his own skin in doing so. But I think if he could just take a page out of, like, the Brooks Koepka and just sort of keep to himself and just go about his business and not get involved with whether it should be 72 holes or, you know, making comments like he still thinks he's part of the PGA Tour. I think when you decide to make this jump, I think following the lead of a Brooks, just keep things to yourself, stay to yourself, you know, don't put the spotlight on you for any wrong reason. And I think Jon Rahm has been doing that. He's put the spotlight on himself by saying things that probably that aren't true, because he's really not a member of the PGA Tour. Yeah, he's suspended, but I think to, you know, poke the bear a little bit in that regard, to say I'm still one of you when the guys across are looking at him like, well, no, you're really not. And when he departed Augusta, if you remember, the story after Augusta was how badly he felt like he was treated by some of his own colleagues that used to be warm to him, but now that he's made the jump, he clearly felt the cold shoulder at Augusta. So this guy is aware of his surrounding. He's an emotional player. So I just don't think his world is settled enough and to be comfortable enough in his own skin to be able to go out and compete with a free, open mind like he had before he made this jump. So I think mentally this has taken a toll on Jon Rahm, and therefore his game is suffering as a result. And I think, you know, he's going to have to go through a few more of this, and maybe this is going to be a year of just not all that great a performance in Masters. But Jon Rahm is also so good, I wouldn't put it past him to win at Pinehurst. I mean, yeah, it's just, that's how good the guy actually is. But this is it's a new experience for him.
And maybe this will be the wake-up call that he needs as well, so he can get geared up for Pinehurst when they do get out there for the U.S. Open. All right, when we come back, how do we think today is going to play out? We'll answer all of that and more when we return. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Jack McGrath for producing today's show. Don't forget, we'll be back on with you tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. on ESPN 1000. Getting you set for the final day of the PGA Championship. Only about 5 minutes left here today before we hand things over to White Sox Weekly with Shane Norling. But Mike, real quick, I think we got to get into some of the stuff that we're expecting for today. Before we get into who's going to shoot the best score today and all that stuff, you're out there at Valhalla. What are the conditions like today for those who may have missed it earlier?
Well, the conditions today are very benign and user-friendly for the players. There will be hardly any wind, 2 to 4 miles an hour with gusts up to maybe 8 miles an hour. But the golf course is soft and in spectacular shape. And, this golf course is going to be very, very vulnerable over the next 2 days. That is for sure. And the world's greatest going around here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic day if you want to see some low scores, like you mentioned there. I think yesterday at the end of the day, we really started to see a lot of these guys start going really low with some of the rounds that they had, because everything was just sort of sticking and there was a lot of pin seeking yesterday towards the end of the day. All right, if you had to pick one guy that's going to go really low today, who's your pick?
Well, I think to go really low today, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see either Brooks or Bryson do it. But I think your winner at the end of this thing could be Colin Morikawa. The guy is absolutely stellar with his irons. At one point, he made a stretch of five birdies in a row, yeah. and then he closed out with a bogey to shoot mm-hmm. six under. So, yeah, there's going to be some pin seeking today, I can tell you that. But it is going to be a lot of fun to watch on TV. And one thing I think Louisville has done so amazing here is how they have tied in the culture of horse racing and thoroughbred racing into the golf here. They've named all the holes. A lot of them have things to do with various horses. And, you know, the first hole is, you know, on the post and down the stretch is 16 and, you know, photo finish is 18. And that's what we're looking to have is another photo finish, just like they had 2 weeks ago down the street at Churchill Downs. So we're in for one heck of a fun weekend, and no better place than to be right in front of your TV watching it on CBS.
You know,
actually ESPN.
Yeah, it'll be ESPN segueing into the CBS a little bit later on today. You know, the guy who I think he's kind of a boom or bust guy today, it's Rory McIlroy, because you know he is going to be going for it today. He is going to be trying to match the record that Xander had on Thursday, because he kind of needs it if he wants to be in this thing. He's going to have to go really low today, and it's either going to really help him or it's going to really hurt him. But I think the way that he played on Thursday, he's going to be able to bottle up some of that and bring it over to this Saturday round. I think we could see Rory, maybe he won't be in that final grouping, but he'll be in the thick of things by Sunday. I think we see him find his way back inside the top 5 to 7 golfers.
Well, people here want to see it, because we really, after day one, we thought we had the potential heavyweight showdown between Scheffler and McIlroy. And when you really stop and think about it, the number one player in the world would be coming off a victory at Harbor Town, and Rory, the number two in the world, coming off his victory at Quail Hollow. So the last time, you know, a major championship with the number one and two players in the world coming in with their last event, having won their last event, was Tiger and Phil when they were at Bethpage. And in that event, Tiger finished tied for 28th and Phil tied for 66th. But I look for these two to finish a heck of a lot better than those two. And I agree with you. This is a big day for Rory, and it will be a very telling day for him as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some fantastic drama with the final pairing when we finally get to it tomorrow. All right, that is going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. White Sox Weekly coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget, go to betterthroughbirdies.org if you would like to donate to the CDGA Golf Show team. Mike and I will be playing 100 holes of golf together later on this week, and you can donate. Get us to our goal of $5,000. We're knocking on the doorstep of it, so any dollar amount is appreciated. White Sox Weekly with Shay Norling coming up in just a little bit. And don't forget, we'll be back with you 9 to 11 a.m. talking all things PGA Championship tomorrow. Mike on the grounds at Valhalla. Myself will be back in the State Street studios of ESPN 1000. It's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.